I want you to take your Bibles this morning and go over to Psalms 124. Psalms 124 today, and I want to preach something I hope that will help all of us and will encourage us. And let me say this today. I want you to pray for Brother Marvin and Sister Sherry West today. They're over in North Carolina. They had to go over there and take care of some family business, but it's good family business. And so they're over in North Carolina this morning, wanted the church's prayer, so make sure to pray for them while they're over there. Jacob's Sunday School lesson, it'll be uploaded in that to YouTube after a while, or to our website. It'll be on YouTube, on our website, and on our Facebook page, and also Miss Jennifer's. So if you've been watching Miss Jennifer's Sunday School class or Jacob's Sunday School class that they've been doing, they will be up after a while. So we encourage you and that to do that. Miss Jennifer said hers wasn't that long today. I believe that's what you said. And she's holding her hand out, so not that long. So you go enjoy. I always enjoy both those Sunday School classes. And so I encourage you to go do that. And I believe the Lord will give us something. I want to look in Psalms 124. And but just going to read the whole Psalms. There ain't but 8 verses to it. And just preach what the Lord's give us today. He said in Psalms 124 and verse 1, the Bible said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Seems like you ought to remember what we preached on last week, that no matter what we go through, the Lord is always going to be with us, and His presence is ever nearing and ever near and that to us. And so no matter what we go through, the Lord is there. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Ain't that a wonderful thought this morning that our help that we need in this life comes from God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for this another time, another day that you've given us. And that to come to your house. And we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to preach for just a little while. Now, Lord, I pray that you just calm the wind down for just a little while we might preach. And Lord, I pray, as folks said and listen in their vehicles, that, Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit can speak to them and help them and encourage them and act with the Word of God. And if there's one that's lost, I pray they might get saved today. And, Lord, I know this is extraordinary times and we're doing extraordinary things to have church, but there's been men and women down through the ages that have done extraordinary ways and extraordinary things to have church, and you've blessed them. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless our time now. Lord, I pray that you might help us preach. Lord, we're looking to heaven and that for some help. And Lord, I pray you'd anoint us afresh and help the one that just needs help. And Lord, we beg of you to save that sinner's nearest hell this morning. And might you be honored and glorified today. Help us now, and we'll give the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As the psalmist David, as he starts out here in Psalms 124, he says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I'm glad today that if you're serving Him, if you're saved and serving Him, I'm glad that the Lord is on our side today. I'm glad I got a friend in Him. I'm glad I know Him, and He knows me. The Bible said right here, as they were fighting the enemy, listen, David says that if it hadn't been the Lord, they would have never made it. How many times that you and I can look back through life and would say, if it hadn't been for God, if it hadn't been the Lord, we'd have never made it. We would have never made it if God hadn't showed up. And I believe that there's a lot of times over our life that we could say that. Listen, you look in verse 8, he said, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He said, the very creator of this universe is my help. Do you know we have no greater help? Listen, if there's anybody that's going to know how to help, it's going to be Him. You go back to Psalms 121, just a few chapters back, and the psalmist said, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven
and earth. I'm glad the very Creator of this universe is my help. That I can go to the throne of grace and to the throne of mercy and find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. That excites me today to know that I can go pray when I need some help. But I want to look at five things today. Preaching out of verse 1 where he said, if it had not been. Listen today, friend. There's a lot of things we can say. If it had not been, can I say, first of all, number one, if it had not been, and that for the cross, there's an old song out there that says, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, if it had not been for the old rugged cross, if it had not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would have been lost. Hey, number one, first of all, I'm glad that it was and at the cross. Thank God today that the cross is the place where Jesus Christ, the righteous, went and died for my sin and your sin. Listen, when He was over in Matthew chapter, I believe verse chapter 26 and verse 39, when He began to pray and say, Lord, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will. Listen, it wasn't a cup of suffering. It wasn't a cup and that of dying at Calvary. Friend, it was the cup and that of carrying my sin and your sin and all humanity from the time of Adam to the very last child that will ever be born upon this earth. He carried all sin and paid for it at Calvary. Ain't you glad of that today, friend? Because of the cross, because of what Jesus done, I mean, you can get saved, are saved. Thank God for that today, friend. Hey, had it not been for the cross, we'd be lost today and still in our sin. But I'm glad today for the cross, amen. Listen, if you go to Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says that He laid on Him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Do you realize, and I don't understand how that thing worked. I don't understand all that. But friend, but I know this, that God imputed my sin and that to Christ. He placed my sin upon Him so that I could get saved and be forgiven of my sin. Ain't you glad of that today, friend? That my sin and your sin was imputed to Him and He paid for it. It was at Calvary, at the cross. Hey, had it not, I know there's got to be an empty tomb. I understand that. But friend, you had to have and bear a payment for sin. And Jesus was my payment. Thank God for that today. You go back and you look in Exodus chapter 12 and you'll find the Passover lamb. And listen, it was the blood of that Passover lamb that saved them. They put it on the post, the doorpost and the lintels. And He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hey, I'm glad and thankful. If we go over and back to 1 Peter chapter 1, you find that, listen, the cross. And listen, the Old Testament saints didn't understand the cross. I know that it was a hidden thing. I just like the church, but Peter, and that tells us over here, friend, that He gave His blood so that we might get saved, but He was foreordained in that to die for me and die for you. He was the plan from the very beginning and that of eternity to die for us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, He said, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily, now listen, He was the lamb that shed His blood. Where did He shed His blood? He shed it that all the way from the Roman whipping post, actually all the way back in the Garden of Gethsemane, when His sweat became His great drops of blood, and they beat Him unmercifully there at the Roman whipping post, and they took Him and they hung Him up, and He shed His blood. The Bible said in Isaiah 52 that His visage was marred more than any man. His bones stared at Him according to Psalms 22. Listening as He hung between the heaven and the earth in open naked shame for me and you. Hey, had it not been for Calvary, friend, the old rugged cross, we couldn't have got saved. The Bible said, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I'm glad because of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, he said, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what he came for. He came to die for me and you. Boy, I don't ever want to forget the cross. I think sometimes we get so used to serving, who I'm serving, and we forget about what he done for us. I don't ever want to forget what he done for us. I don't ever want to forget. I want to sing at the cross, at the cross. I want to sing page 305, the old rugged cross. Jesus, I keep me near the cross. We sing that old song for an invitation sometimes to kneel at the cross. Hey, Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you except what? Except Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We try to do everything and add everything. Listen, but it's the cross today. The cross. Boy, I'm thankful. Had it not been for the cross, we couldn't have got saved. But then let me say this, number two. Had it not been for the church. I love the church. Don't you love the church? I'll never forget when Brother Ted came and preached our dedication service to the new sanctuary. When he preached it, he got to talking about the church, how much he loved the church. And he said, I just wish that I could hug the church up and kiss the church. And boy, I'm telling you, that's how I feel about the church too. Listen, you're saved today because of the church. Somebody at the church, whether it's a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or a mama that loved God and went to church, or a daddy or a mama or a papa, somebody from the church told you about Christ. And boy, I thank God for the church. Can I tell you that the Lord loves the church? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he said, husbands, I love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He ordained the church. He loves the church with the bride of Christ. I know you've got the word. I know that you've got the church and that in the body of Christ. And I love God's people. But friend, I love the local assembly. I love the coming. You know what the world tells us, that we can meet online. And listen, this is not ideal what we're doing this morning. But it's far better than meeting online. I'll tell you that. We get to see each other. We get to look at each other and talk. Hey, listen, the church is made an act to assemble and come together and worship Him this morning. Amen. We're just doing what we can in these times. But had it not been for the church, God uses the church. He works through the church. It's not another organization. He don't use anybody else to get His work done. He uses the church to get His work done. You say, well, there's ministries in the church. If they're tied to the church and listen, they're doing the work of God. It's under the, if you let me say this, under the church. He's getting it done. He does not work outside the church. He's not going to work in our lives outside the church. He expects us to assemble together. Hey, listen, it is the responsibility and that of the church to get the gospel out. It's the responsibility and that of the church and that to teach and preach and instruct and to teach in that faith and how to live by faith. Hey, listen, it's our job to help those that need help and just point a lost and dying world to Christ. That's the church. That's the church. We become critical as a church sometimes. I know I've been on this a lot here lately, it seems like, especially before all this coronavirus, COVID-19 set in. But a lot of times we get critical of people, especially of the world. I was saying, boy, if they'd have done this and done that, but if they're in trouble, friend, it's our responsibility to point them to Christ. And if we can help them, we're to help them, amen. We're to help them. We're to do what we can. Listen, we work. He works through the church. We work. He works with the church. 1 Corinthians 3, for we're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. We work with Him and He works through us. Don't you love the church today? I love the church. I wouldn't want to do nothing. I wouldn't want to be with nobody else but in the church. Amen. I love the church. I love the church. I love God's people. I love the work of this church. Listen, I love what we can do. If God blesses it, we can do all kinds of things when God blesses it. Amen.
It's amazing what we can do when God puts His hand on it. We can do more. Hey, you know what? There's a song right there that says, little is much when God is in it. Listen, you can take just a little bit of work and God can bless it. But friend, we need to labor and He'll labor with us. And then He works for His church. He works for us. He keeps us, don't He? He keeps us when He wants something done. He makes a way. He'll open doors. He removes obstacles. He fights our battles. Listen, as the church, we ought to shine and go forward for Christ. Let me ask you something this morning. How many times have you come in here low and just down? You know how many times I've come in here on a Wednesday night? On a Wednesday night. And just, I mean, it seems like the world's been beating on you through the week. And come in here, and Brother Jeff would get up. We get in the choir, and he'd want to sing page 162. Is it 162? I believe. Living by faith. Want to sing Living by Faith. Listen, I mean, it's just amazing when we come into the church and we begin to fellowship one with another, not around Christ, and we come in, we begin to sing. It's just amazing what happens when we get together sometimes. It's just amazing. The church. Listen, we're not only in that to do the work of Christ. But friend, we're to fellowship and love one another and help one another when we have opportunity. It was in the church that conviction set in my life for salvation. It's in the church that I find comfort when I come. It's in the church. He ordained the church. Had it not been for the church. Boy, I'm glad I ain't living this thing by myself. I'm glad I ain't doing it by myself, friend. I know I've got the Lord. I'm glad He's up there. And He's got me too, but I'm glad I've got y'all. I love the church. I love y'all. I love the church. You are the church. The building is not the church. You are the church. I love the church. I hope you love the church. Number three, talking about had it not been for the cross, I'd have never got saved. I'd never find happiness without the cross. But then the church, and then number three, my companion. I'm glad the Lord gave me the wife that I got. You know, the Bible said, man findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And he finds favor with the Lord. You know that it's because, there's no doubt, it's because of my wife that I've made it through some days. She's listened to me. She's had to be everything to me over the years. She's had to be a therapist. I listen. She just had to sit and listen. When you try to, especially in these days, when you try and pastor and want to do what God wants you to do, sometimes it becomes discouraging. I listen, she's helped me through time. I remember when I first come down here, we just have a handful on Wednesday night. I'd leave here discouraged. I listen, she'd pat me on the shoulder on the way home. And she'd say, it'll just be better Sunday. I'd listen, come Sunday, it's always better. I thank God for my companion. Hey, if you've got a husband or a wife today that loves God, wants to serve God, lift you up and praise. I have no doubt my wife prays for me. Hey, friend, I'd have never made it without my companion. You're to thank God for your companion. You're to thank God. Listen today. Listen, she's my best friend. Some get some bad ones. I was thinking about through the Scripture. You know, Lot's wife, she wasn't that good of a wife. She wasn't that good a wife. She was sold out down there and that to Sodom and Gomorrah. Listen, they were living down there, and part of that was his fault, if not all of it. And they were down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, but she'd fell in love and that with the world. I thought about Jezebel. You're talking about a wicked wife. Hey, but I'm glad today that I've got a wife, friend, and I believe she honestly loves God and she loves her husband. And had it not been for her and that along the way, that's why the Bible calls her a helpmeet to me. Let me ask you, husband, some of you wouldn't have made it and be where you are without your wife. Had not been for your wife who lives in, you know, my wife lives in the background a lot of times. Nobody sees a lot of things that she does and a lot of the praying and a lot of things she takes care of. Let me talk to you now, wives, for just a second. Had not been for your husband who loves you and, listen, wants to take care of you. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, I love having my wife today. You ought to look over to your husband and wife today if you got one there in the vehicle with you and just thank God for them. Tell the Lord, tell them I thank God for you. Listen, in a marriage, we need to be a help to each other. We need to be encouraging to each other, not be a burden to each other. I thought about the Shunammite woman over there that perceived that Elisha was a man of God, and it was her that wanted to build that prophet's chamber.
It wasn't her husband. I'm not saying that he wasn't godly. I'm just saying it was her that wanted to build that prophet's chamber. She's a good companion. Had it not been number four for our conflicts. What do you mean for our conflicts? Nobody likes conflict. Nobody likes to fight. I don't like to fight. I gotta be careful what I say. After I made that statement the last time I was preaching, I like a good fight. I've been in one, it feels like, for a long time. But you know what? We get in conflicts, don't we? What do you mean we get in conflicts? We do have battles. We have battles in that with Satan. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have to fight with him. We have to fight with our flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, but the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. He said they fight all the time. They conflict all the time. He said that's why you can't do the things that you would, because they're contrary one to the other. Hey, listen, but there's conflicts that we have to face. And in those conflicts is where we get to see God move. It's in those conflicts when we have to fight the devil and fight our flesh, and when problems arise, that we see God move. What was it that he told the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." I believe to buffet means to beat on. Would that not be a conflict? If you was getting beat on, wouldn't you be conflicted? He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that I might, that it might depart from me." And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." It's the conflicts where we get to see God move. It's the conflicts where we find out that God's strength, that His grace is sufficient. You know, if nothing bad, and I'm just going to use that word bad, whether it's a conflict or a battle or a fight or a storm or a hill or a valley, whatever you want to look at, if it wasn't been for them times, then we'd never really know what God's capable of doing. If everything just went along fine, day in and day out, would you ever look up to heaven? Would you ever call up to heaven? I'm serious right now. I'm being honest. If bad times never come, and you know what? We should. During the good times, man, we ought to call up to heaven, look up to heaven, and say, "Lord, I'm glad you're up there. And boy, you blessed us beyond what we could imagine." But listen, how many of us should do that? Boy, when we get on a streak on the mountaintop and everything's going good, how many of us bless the name of the Lord? We should. But you know, it's in them conflicts that we get to see God really move. The nation of Israel had just come out of the land of Egypt down there. And you find, I believe it is, over in the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And you'll find that they come up against Amalek. They hadn't been out of the land of Egypt long. And they'd come up out, and they were going to have to fight Amalek. And Moses puts Joshua in charge of the army. And Joshua goes down there with the army and that to fight with Amalek. And three men go up on top of the hill. You've got Moses who stood in the middle, and you've got two men, one by the name of Aaron and another by the name of Hur, H-U-R. And they get up there on top of the hill, and with the staff of God in his hand, he begins to raise up his hands. And as long as he had his hands up, they would win. But Moses was getting tired by the end of the day, and his hands was falling down. And the Bible said that when Moses would let his hands down, that they'd begin to lose and Amalek would begin to win. And so what happened was, is Moses or Aaron and Hur went and got a big rock for Moses to sit on. And one got on one side and one got on the other and lifted up Moses' hands. Now you know, sometimes it's not the fact that you're going to have to fight your battle. You're going to have to help somebody else fight theirs. And that's what Moses and Aaron were doing, or Aaron and Hur was doing, is they were down there. They weren't down there fighting with Joshua. I mean, Joshua was doing the fight, but what they were doing was making a way that where they could fight. Sometimes it's not our conflict
but it's somebody else's. But we need to be there to hold our arms up as a church. Come back to the church, ain't we? We need to hold them up so that they can see God move, so that they can see God fight. You know, the problem we get into a lot of times is we want to run from conflict. We want to run from conflict, just like the children of Israel did. They come up out of the land of Egypt, and what they do, God sent them over there in the book of Numbers. He said, all right, you can go into the land of Canaan. I believe it was Numbers 13, Numbers 14, somewhere in there. And you'll find that Moses sent 12 spies over in the land of Canaan. They spent 40 days over there. They come back and say, it's a great place, flows with milk and honey. Look at what we brought back. Joshua and Caleb said, we can go. And 10 others said, we can't. Why? They're bickering us. We can't win. We can't win. Sometimes we look at the conflict and we say, we can't win. But friend, I'm going to tell you what, with Christ on our side, and listen, us serving Him, we'll win the conflict. We'll win. That's how, listen, had it not been for the conflicts that I've already had in front of me and the battles that I've had in front of me, I wouldn't want to keep going. I wouldn't want to keep going. But number five, and last of all, if you're keeping count, had it not been, listen, don't run from the conflicts. But then number five, for our comrades, for our friends. I know I talked about the church, but for our friends. I wouldn't have made it without my friends. I'm glad that I can call you friends today. You know, I've got preacher friends outside just here and there, and listen, some of them are better friends than others, and I've got a handful that I'll call and talk to from time to time, and always find encouragement when I talk to them. I've got one feller all the way up in Kingsport, and it seems like he'll always send me a text at the right time. I don't know how. He must be paying attention to the Lord. That's all I know to say. All of a sudden, I'll get a text from him, and he'll send me just a very short text, maybe with a little scripture and a little thought in it. And he'll always put in there, "You're needed in the battle. Keep on fighting." I'm glad I've got some preacher friends that knows what to go through and fight. But you know what? We've got friends. I've got friends. I won't call them friends, but I'll say that I'm friendly with them. I ain't sure that all of them saved, if you let me say that. But I know that if I needed them, I could go to them, and they'd sure enough help me. I know that. But then my comrades, my friends, you, God's people, those that have relationships and that were tied. You know, being a friend is you're tied to one by affection. Just being a friend. My Christian friends. Had not been for folk that just comes by and just want to shake your hand and tell you to keep going. Somebody to sit and just talk to. Somebody that you can go cry on their shoulder and you can laugh with them or whatever needs to be done. Or just to spend some time in fellowship together. Proverbs 27 said, thy own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. He comes down in the book of Proverbs again in the very same chapter, and he said, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You ever just been by yourself on certain days, and wasn't you glad to just get around a friend? You're glad to see somebody, a friendly face. I'll never forget, I believe we were either in St. Augustine or in Charleston, South Carolina. We'd spent about 4 days down there at the time, and it might have been Savannah, I can't remember. And my wife, she looked at me about the third day and she said, I can't wait to get home to see somebody that I know. I guess after spending 3 days with me, she was done. I guess she wanted to spend time with y'all. Listen, it's just good to be around friends. It's just good to have friends. You know, the Bible said for a man to have friends, he must first show himself friendly. But had it not been for some friends, I hadn't have made it. You go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the Bible tells us that two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks about Onesiphorus. He said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Had it not been for some friends, I'd never made it. And I'd say that you're the same way. If you ain't got no friends, I'll tell you what, I'll be your friend. I'll be your friend. I am your friend. Everybody sitting here today, I can look across and I'll tell you that I'm your friend. But had it not been. Listen, I'm glad today The Bible said that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ today. I'm glad that I'm His friend and He's mine. I hope you got a friend in Him today. Listen, had it not been for the cross, you couldn't have got saved. Our sins would have never got forgiven. Had it not been for the church, listen, think about where you'd be without the church. Think about the shape you might be in right now. And I know that the church and our comrades all tie together. By the way, we should be friends. We may not always agree with everything and may not agree all the time with each other, but we ought to be friends. We ought to be friends. Listen, had it not been for the church, had it not been for my wife, my companion, I'd never made it. Had it not been, listen, for my conflicts, my battles, and my fights. I don't like them when they're there. But you know, after I get through them and I look back across them and I say, boy, right there is where God worked. Right there is where God worked. Right there is where God worked. Then I know the next time that they show up, I know God will be faithful and He'll work. But I'm glad for my comrades today. My friends. Listen, what do you think about in your life? Had it not been? Where can you say that at? Had it not been for this to happen, I'd have never made it. Had they not come by, had God not showed up, had this not happened, I'd never made it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this time, this day that You've given us. Lord, I pray as the messages went out, I pray it'll be a help to people and that it'll be encouraging to people. And Lord, had it not been for You, had You just not come by many times, as we sing this morning in Sunday school, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, had You just not come by and give us joy and salvation and joy and servant, we'd have never made it. And Lord, today I'm thankful for all those things, for the cross and for my companion in the church and my friends and even the conflicts, as many times as we don't want them. Lord, I am thankful that You're always faithful to be there. Lord, if somebody needs prayer, Lord, I pray if they need help, I pray they find it in You. And Lord, we're thankful today for helping us. Help these dear people today. For this in Jesus' name.